Shalmi Tainis, Daf Chav Ches, we're starting from Chav Zayim and Beis. More the bottom of the Mishnah, the next line of the Mishnah was when you look at the Beta. And Beta, the city of Beta, was conquered. One of the terrible things that happened on that day. So the Gemara discusses a little bit about other events that took place at that time, tragic events by the time of the Churban Bayis. The Gemara says, well, the Gemara goes as follows. Gemara says, Rabbi Avidarish Esim Arben Uvdin, Bebila Hashem Lechomal. Rabbi explained the Pasik, that Hashem consumed Uvdin B'liba without a pity, by explaining that they were Eshen Barben Uvdin. There were 24 stories, terrible things that happened, events that happened by Churban Bayis, that Rabbi Darshan from the Pasik, Bila Hashem V'loi Chamal, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and this is Rabbi Yochanan, he Darshan, Rabbi Darshan 24, Yochanan Darish Ashisen. He said there were 60 things that happened. So the question is that what exactly, how is it possible? Rabbi has Rabbi Yochanan more things that happened than Rebbe did. They said 60 things versus 24 when Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe lived closer to the Churban, as the Churban Eidah explained. So how would Rebbe Yochanan know more? How would he know more? The Esther says the Churban Eidah that Chavdal Muros Kasher's Hiski Rebbe. You remember 24 terrible things that happened Shas Churban, goes to Pasik. If you remember bit me ever Yochanan. Rebbe was closer to the Beit Churban Eidah Mikdash than Rebbe Yochanan. So how could he be? How could he say 60? How could he be more things that took place than Rebbe knew? So the Gemara says the Eli the Rebbe of the summer of the Churban Eidah Mikdash have a Taman Sub in the Hirin. Rebbe, since he was closer to the Churban, to Mela, they were still old people that remembered the Churban. They were there alive at the Churban. Rabbi Darish, Inan, Bachi, Mishtakim, Kaimele. Rabbi would speak about the destruction. They would cry. It says, and they would therefore, Bachi, Mishtak again, they would be quiet, Mishtakim, they would get up and they would leave. So Mela, Rabbi didn't speak about it because it was like speaking about the Marshal, the Shoah. People speak about the Shoah, but people that are still alive, that went through that. It's a different way to hear about it, to speak about it, than people who didn't go through it. So Rebbe, when Rebbe spoke, he spoke to people that were still around, older people that were still around at the time of the Churban Bayis. Mela, when he spoke, people would cry out and they would leave. And therefore, it was too difficult to speak about the topic. So Mela, therefore, Rebbe cut back and spoke less because he afraid people would be there to listen and become pained by it, and become tsar. Hashem of Yochanan was much later, so that would not have been an issue, and that's why he was able to speak more. As the Churban Eidah explained, he said, "Mishkan Yochanan Churban." When Rebbe would darish, Baichin would styrin. Well, Rebbe couldn't continue because it was being mistyred then too much. So, mainly that's why he cut back on the things, the terrible things that he would share. Mara continues. What happened with Beita? Tell me that about some of you. My Loi, Baruch Rebbe, Ayudarish Hakol Kol Yamei Esav. My Rebbe. Rebbe Baruch used to go ahead and darshin a kol kol yam derech. Darshin the pasuk kol the Yaakov tzavea. Kol of Yaakov cries out. Mimasha also lo yodav shleisa bebeita. What the hands of Esav did to Yaakov in Beita, they used to cry out. Gemara said that this was the idea that who was this Baruch? So the Churban Eidah explains an unusual name. We don't find usually. So he said, Baruch Rabbi Baruch, Yishkosin Baruch Rabbi Yoyah. So he said that there were two different gears the Churban Eidah brings down. We don't find any place there was someone named Baruch. So either you could say that Baruch means Akiva, or there's another, again, there's one possibility, Baruch, Yishkosin Baruch Rabbi. It wasn't his name. It was a different name. It had the name of Akiva. That's the one of the explanations that the Mefarshim give. Don't name Baruch, but rather Akiva was the Talmud of Rabbi Loi, a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so much like this. So there's and Shin Moskos also explains this language, this Lashon Baruch. He said, Bialkud, we find lesser, you don't find such a name over there, that doesn't even exist such a name in the list of Tanoim. So it goes by, has to be something else. Okay. Mercy is meant to call Yadash and call Yaakov. The call of Yaakov cried out what the hands of Esav did to the end of Mabeta. It was so cruel what Beitar did, the massacre of the Yidden Beitar. So Mela, it was the referring to the terrible thing that they did. That's how we dash in the pasuk. But Lamaisa, what's the difference between Stam Chorban Bayis? It was a terrible calamity, terrible destruction. So what is it Dafka Beitar is talking about? So Mara says that the look at the Karmelita explains what they did to Beitar. I forgot the Gedoli Mashasu Churban, even though it doesn't compare what happened to Churban Bayis, which was much greater destruction. That there was only people who were involved in Beitar were the Romans, the thrones of Bnei Beitar, which is the Bnei Banav Shal Esav. So he met first to them, even though there's a different explanation, because Lamaisa, the fact is that there was other people there that caused Tzklai Sot Tsar, so therefore it wasn't considered Dafki De'esa. But here, even though it wasn't as bad as Korban Bayis itself, but Lamaisa, it came by De'esa, De'edom, and therefore it's referred to the statement, Kol Shel Yaakov, that he cried out, when B'Yadayim Shel Esav, that took place in the terrible time of the Korban Beitar. The Gemara continues. Gemara says, we talk about now Bakos Bakokba. Gemara says, that was the beginning of the foundation of the falling of Beita was about Bakokba. Kiva used to darshin out the Pasik in Chumash, that it says Dora Kokha Miyakov, a star came out from Yaakov. So he would read the Pasik as Dera Kuzba Miyakov, that Kuzba Bakokba came out from Yaakov. It would be, you know, it was because he was so successful in his battles, so unusual, he was able to go connect the Romans in such an incredible way that he assumed that he referred to him as Mashiach. He thought he was Mashiach. So in Mela, it talks about it, he actually, the Pasay, Derek Yaakov, he took the Pasay in Chumash, and he read in Derek Kosipa, that referring to Bakokba, that it was he's going to bring the Yeshua, he's the Mashiach, he's coming. So Gemara says that so therefore that's what he dashed in the Pasay, Derek Kosipa and Yaakov. So the question is, who was this Bakosva? That he was, again, some say he's Bakokba, others say a different name that was applied to him, but these are the different variations of who he was. Tikri Kozov, El Kozov, it was a name that they called him. His name wasn't Kozov, but he was so taken with his original success that he called him Kozov. Later he realized that he was not when he had his downfall. When he saw Bakokba, he saw how successful he was in his battles. Mashiach would say, this is the King Mashiach. I'm no one else but Mashiach could be so successful. Kiva, grass will grow on your cheeks, but Vendava will still not come. In other words, you're barking up the wrong alley. You're going to be dead and buried, says the covenant. What does it mean? Grass will grow. Any time after your death, when grass will really grow on your gravesite, he still would not be, you'd be buried for a long time, and still would not be, he will not become, he will not be Mashiach. When I said Yeshua, the Chachamim knew that he wasn't, later the Chachamim tested him and saw that he wasn't Mashiach, but at the beginning they didn't know, and Akiva Chareg said he was Mashiach. They all agreed with Rabbi Akiva. They thought that he was Mashiach. And eventually he failed, and he wasn't, so it shows that he wasn't there. But the question is, how did he make such an incredible mistake? How is it possible that he made such a mistake that he thought he was? So the Mefarshim will explain this, that they really didn't make a mistake, that he really could have been, if he would have been, Ol Klai So would have been Roy Fakach, then he would be Mashiach. But because he was the Klai So wasn't Roy, and then therefore Mela, he wasn't Roy, so then he can't be Mashiach, the Torah promised. So Mela never said he was Vati Mashiach, they said he has the ability to be Mashiach. That's what Akiva meant, because he had the Klaikas to be Mashiach, and his victories were the Mashiach type victories. But Klai Yisrael, he himself wasn't great enough, and neither was Klai Yisrael, and later on proved by Kosiba that he wasn't. Okay. More about this. Said that so it's more about this. But I said that when he realized that he wasn't, only later when he died. Before that, they thought he was. And before that, when he was still alive, they thought that he was that. Okay, something more about it. When it says, what does it mean in Pasig of Dam Be Esav, Koko Yaakov Dam Se Esav? You're going to call out Rhinos Kesa Hori, Rebeta, Shmonim Eleviva. The voice of Yaakov cried out, on the pain of how many people died, in a terrible Churban of Beta, that the Kesa, Adrinus Kesa, the Emperor of Hadrian, killed out 80 million people that's a Shmonim Eleviva. 80 million people died in Beta. Incredible amount of people, says the Mefarshim explain, that this is a lo api guzma even, it's not the, this is api, some say that this is a guzma, be'alma, and some say that there can't be, there weren't that many Jews there, weren't that many Jews in all of Eretz Yisrael, so it could not be that that was an existing shattering number, it just means there was a tremendous destruction, and the destruction that they were, he exaggerates how much of a total destruction it was, but it doesn't have to mean that there was 80 million people that were killed. Gemara says, "My beta, what happened? My miyakon shmonim elav. So took a kavanas and keeping his beta. 80,000 pairs of trumpet blowers surrounded beta. The officers gathered their troops, together. Roshi geisus is a kavanah. The cops and chayleim, the officers that would gather together the people by blowing the trumpets. They would just they alone 80,000 pairs of trumpets. Every one of them, and each of them were in charge of many, many different troops. And it was by Kospa, who had 200,000 soldiers. Matipi Etzpa took amputated their fingers. I'll explain. Sent to him. Ad, I must say, Tosi saw Bali Mum. When are you going to stop making people the Bali Mum and cutting off their thumbs? I'm only said to them, how is it possible to test these people if they're worthy, if they're brave enough? I'm only that them kavish in rokal susu okay. It was my banana. What can go can't break off a branch from a cedar tree. All writing was nitkav yisrael. Shouldn't be written in your army. That should be the test. Don't make them mum. Don't make them cut their fingers off. That would be a sign. So basically, follow what the chum said. Masayim elav kach. He had 200,000 troops of each kind. 200,000 of those who amputated their fingers, and 200,000 troops later who didn't amputate, but after the Chacham told them not to do that, who uprooted a tree with their bare hands. That's again how powerful of soldiers they were. This was the incredible size of the powerful army that he had. My tifa yatzpa said the koneta katu yatzpa shayim and tokan de kaf and avir lev she kaf gatzpa. If they would cut off their fingers, it would be a sign that they were brave hearted. They were able to do it. And the other one says no. As long as you're riding on the horse, you can pull it out. That should be enough to show their koichus. You don't have to go ahead and make a mum in them and have them cut off their fingers. Went out to battle. He would say, "Master of the world, neither don't do anything, neither amos, don't support us, and don't destroy us. Don't stay out of it. Don't intervene. Let us just run its natural course." Says the Kamenada, "Latiso, don't help us. Latiso, and don't destroy us. Let Derech HaTeva come." And we'll win Derech HaTeva, natural battle, because of our strong army. But don't intervene one way or the other. That's what he told him. That's what Kippur said in his tefillah. You're not a Kosh Baruch, abandon us. Don't go forth. Let's just stay. The Lord Pasuk can tell him. And he's telling him, you win, even if you do anything, you're not going against them. We'll be fine as long as you don't go against us. This was the... this was his plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, right? Three and a half years, Hadrian laid siege to Beitar, surrounded Beitar. 3.5 years, he surrounded Beitar. So Gemara says, sit in sackcloth and daven every day. Do not sit in judgment today. In other words, he's telling him every person is judged every day. Because Baruch Hu's judgment, don't judge today. Don't find them. Don't maybe judge them. You find them guilty of destruction. Don't sit in judgment today. So I said, and Baruch Hu accepted his tefillahs and they didn't judge them. But Adrian came up, gave up hope. Up conquering the city, he wanted to leave. He was surrounded for so long, and so he couldn't do it. He gave up, ready to give up. Like I do, one because he said to him, "Well, Tezalot, don't leave, don't give up, because." I can tell you what you can do. I can get the whole city can be given to you. This guy went through the city, he went to the sewer, he went into the sewers, city gate, because he couldn't go through the gates because he would be stopped, but he went to in the underground in the sewers. And it says that and he went in there, found the Rosh Hashanah sitting davening. He went in and was whispering in his ear. People in the city saw them speak to Rabbi Elazar ben Doi. They took brought him to Ben Kosova. Amalei said to him, we saw this old man speak to your uncle. Amalei said to him, what did you tell my uncle? Amalei, what did he say to you? Amalei said to him, I said, if I tell you the Amalekite will kill me, if I did not tell you, you'll kill me. I'm better off if the emperor kills me, not you. So Amalei said to him, I'll hand over the city to the Romans. So Amalei said to him, what did he tell you? Amalei said, look, let me not say anything. Because said, Amalek, what did you answer him? Amalei, look, I didn't answer him anything either. You know, he didn't ask me anything. He was davening. He didn't hear what the guy said. He was in the middle of his tefillos. He didn't hear what he said, and he didn't answer him. So the guy made up the whole story. So Gemara says, so what happened? Gemara says he got angry. So Ben Kosba got angry. He gave Elazar one kick, and he killed him. Yatzbah Kobas came out. The royal elements of his own. What was to the shepherd who abandoned his flock? Hair of Azrael, Yemino, sword on his arm and his right eye. So Yavosh Tivosh, Enmino, Koetikor. The Postik says in Zachariah, his arm should go off and his right eye should become blind. Rakas Rav Elizabeth killed Rav Elizabeth and Adoy. Zeronsah Shay Yisraelim, he was the right arm of Klai Yisrael and he was their right eye. Because of his eye, because he always looked at Klai Yisrael in favor and taught them Torah, he was their eye and there was their right hand. Because Rav Elizabeth, Yavosh Tivosh, Yemino, Shakol. Therefore, your arm is going to wither away and your right eye will be completely blind. He'll be dying. He'll be killed. He says he'll be lost, and you'll be both. Miad Beta was captured. Kokla was killed. Asantina and Rishi Agabino. So they carried his head to Hadrian. Amalei said, "Man, Kokla, who killed this man?" Amalei Akutius, one that couldn't said, "I killed him." Amalei, he said to him, "Show me his body." Amalei put me. Showed him his body. Eshka Kavino Kiriko Laiv. Found a snake wrapped around the body. So in other words, he saw that it was the guy didn't kill him, but the snake killed him. He died by a snake bite, not by the kusi. So Gemara says, so he'd say, lie to him. So Amalei said, not that Hashem killed him, who would else have killed him? No one else would have been able to kill him. Coraline, he called a pusik on him. He'd lay tsura machar mashaniski. If not for the Iraq had sold them, Hashem had delivered them. In other words, he realized himself, Hadrian himself, that he was so powerful that no natural way would he have died. He would no one be able to kill him. So the fact that he died only couldn't have been killed by the Adam, had to be only killed by Hashem, which is he was killed with by Akash Baruch Hu, and he recognized that Akash Baruch Hu had him through a snake. In no way they died naturally. Nobody could have killed him naturally. He wouldn't have been able to be killed. So the message that was the he recognized the Zoran Shalasem, family put me. It says Eshka, the only right Nakash Hagro, Nakash killed him. The Akash Baruch Hu Shliach, not in a human being. No human being would be able to kill him. Where it says what happened? They went to Beta to kill the Pisidi of Beta. There were so many Romans killed so many people in Beta that the blood ran so deep that the horse sank in his blood until his nose. That's so much blood was in his fight. Damagalgil, Slayma Sayabas, and the blood flowed and moved boulders that weighed 40 saw. And so much like it was so much blood that it just a stream of blood that the heavy boulders just moved. It flowed 4 mil into the sea. Blood flowed. There's so much blood flowed in it. You could recognize the blood 4 mil into the city, into the Yam. And it was 40 mil distant from the city, from the sea. So you see how much blood possibly travels so far. Look how terrible, how much blood, how much destruction it was with the Meruge Beta. They found 300 babies' brains on one rock. Three boxes of tefillin case, each one holding 9 saw, also found. They found even that, the black leather that people loathe, they used the tefillin. They found 9 boxes, each holding 3 saws. That much they found, even so much more. So Gemara says, schools in Beita. The smallest school didn't have less than 500 students. 500 children. How you needs to say, if the enemies come on us, we'll take out again, we'll go against them with our and we'll go and Makhazay and poke at their eyes. We'll take out they'll come in because we can we have so many people there. We could go take them out. They'll be so overawed by how many people we have here. They're all enough sheet that there's just the stone, the wax and the stones that we used to write on, that all the Talmidim used to write on. So much we'll take just that out, that alone we could go, we could kill out the Romans who are coming. We'll advance against them, we'll kill them, poke their eyes out. Kivin Shmona says, Kivin She Gamavonos, but do Kaiso sins, the city fell. Kokon Galakaviak was Sifro, so the Romans burnt, took each child wrapped in his scroll and burnt them. And the Kulmish died, and it was the only one that was left. Rabbi Shmona says, was me. The only one that's left alive. When it says, Kurel Agame, he said, the Pusik himself, Aini Ola Nafshi, Nikol Benisir. My eyes are so in tears, Pusik in Eitha, because I'm left alone of all the daughters of my city. Basically means he was the only one of all the Talmidim, of all the children, he was the only one left. With the only one left. It was such an incredible destruction, such an incredible ariga, that everyone, they tortured everyone, wrapped everybody in their thing, and there was nobody left, he says, except for him. That, of course, is not so simple. The Gemara and the Babli had a different formula, and said that there were people left, there were others that were left besides them, but here, this Yerushalmi quotes the Pasig, based that he was the only survivor of the Tamida Bay Sefer. Once other people were alive, but the of the school children, Kinokisha Bay Sefer, he was the only one that was left from there, that he died, that he was, of all the people, all the children were killed. Mara says, what else? Mara says, what happened to the people who died in Beta? So Mara says, Kamai Galabayan, had a huge vineyard. Mara says, what did he do? Shwani Asimil, Shwani, it was 18 mil by 18 mil. The nativity of us, it was the size of this and the very Tibori. How do we go? Nega Meruge Beta. And he had a vineyard surrounded with a fence made from all those who died in Beta. And the fence was Maliko and Pishidai. And there was a full height of a person with his arms stretched upward. But the Gozalem Shikivu, and anyone said they cannot bury anyone, let him stay there. German Melech Achav Gozalem Shikivu. Mexican came and allowed them to be buried, but Kolzman, he was there. He was so punishing them so much, decreed on them that they can't even be buried. They have to remain there, that their bodies should become Nisrach. They should become a bigger bizarre, not just that they were killed, but they shouldn't be allowed even to be buried. That was what the terrible Gzeira that he made. The Gemara said that. So what happened? The Gemara says, I'm Rav Huna. Huna says, when they finally were allowed to be buried, they were Chazal Makovei, the bracha of Atuv, my mate, and benching. Tov Shizuku were told that the bodies didn't become Nisrach, remained whole. Mative, Nukan Pekudat, Mative, that they were able to be buried. This was the, since he used them, surrounded them, we should be able to see both factors that the, there were two brachas we saw that they were not just they were able to be buried eventually, but rather it was the bracha Bikas Amazon that we talk about the building of Yerushalayim, so we have this thing as well, Kavu Bracha Akavani Yerushalayim, to be able to go ahead and this miracle that took place, they were able to bury them, and they won Mashriach all the time that they were left exposed. I guess how long, when did this happen? Beit Ar existed for 52 years after Churban Bayis, and that's where the rebellion of Ben Kokhba happened, and that's when they were killed. So there was the Beit Ar, the siege of Beit Ar was 3.5 years. It lasted for 52 years after the Churban Bayis Yerushalayim itself. That's when they were able to go and hold out. Why was Taka destroyed? What was the reason why Beit Ar? There must have been a reason. They were such terrible. And we know the basement was destroyed because of Sinas Kinam, but Beit Ar, we don't find Sinas Kinam. So what was the reason why Beit Ar was destroyed? What was the purpose for that? What was the Cheshbon? So Gemara says, there's a reason. Gemara says, why did they light? Gemara says, I should look at theirs, but they lit, the reason why they was destroyed, because they lit candles after the Churban. Why did they lit candles? Because when the basement stood, the council of Yerushalayim used to sit in the center. When they would see a person, they would go to Yerushalayim, and they would tell him, they would tell him, we heard that you wish to become an official member, a politician, or somebody, an official. for the city. Yomalein, they would say to him, Lataiti, I have no such intention. They would say, Bidul Shmatalek, the boy, Mizam, no deal. I heard that you want to come sell your estate. Well, no, we don't want to do that either. I don't know where you got that from. Yomalein, they would continue saying to him, maybe you want to buy din. You want to go be a din. You want to do a din. You want to make the din from the city. It should be all over. Ksiv, I don't have some. I will sign as a witness. Maybe that's what the plan is. How they cost the Kavistam, so they went and they wrote the deed and they signed his name by Mishak and Nunsin and by Mason Omer. They went and sent a deed to the members of the contractor's home, who oversaw the properties and said to him, he's Palanya Meal, Suya Day, Lishabah. If this person tries to come to the thing, don't let him come in. Because he sold it to us, it's not his anymore. But given that Mishmas Min Avayah, when he heard, he heard that they went ahead and they said that they took the property, Halvayit Bab Ragle, do govern Losagle. The leg would be broken. I don't have any more. I didn't go to Yerushalayim. It's like Yerushalayim. My physical body should be broken, should be affected. My legs should be broken, but I didn't go up. You see, he's saying that's the thing. Why didn't he say it just automatic? It doesn't go up. There it says because it had a it was good. It was said that they had a there was after the korban bias, and they were okay. And one said, and therefore they just didn't think that there was anything happening. So only when they go in, they finally brought it out. They saw what was going to happen. Then they see that there was destruction at the Yerushalayim because they went ahead and they mistreated Yerushalayim. Therefore, they were punished and should be destroyed. So the Gemara said, "Look, save in a pussy." So it said, "Milach as the pussy stayed in Necho." Pasuk says, "Sodar leim to milach as mekasein." They dug our steps so we couldn't walk in the streets. What does that mean? So they dug our steps. That's into chasayu debaita. The roads leading to the Beis Hamikdash became desolate, became empty. Nobody used it anymore. Nobody was able to go up to the Beis Hamikdash anymore. There was no need to go up. There was nothing there. Kavizena aren gedir. Kavizena muyusa. The end of a house was near. Maliyamenu. Our days are filled. Maliyom adibaita. Days of the house be filled, which means that the days that the Beis Hamikdash was left open was destroyed. There's no more need to go there. Nothing left to go to Yerushalayim for. Afina and Lon v'kitavos, but the people didn't enter. Did not fare well. Shema le'ed l'nyoke. Those that ended up didn't go. They didn't do well. But rather, one who goes ahead is Mesameach, another person, l'nyoke. He won't be exonerated. He won't be menake. So therefore, the same idea that they weren't misnaking for the Jews in Yerushalayim. So therefore, it didn't help them later, and therefore they were punished. All of them destroyed. All of them destroyed. When I said they came to an end, it was destroyed. Second, when I said, I mean, the Twelos, I mean, the Buttonites also did not fare well. So, because one who rejoices in another person's misfortune doesn't get freed. So, therefore, it may be that it came, Bashas Maise, it was something the Kerbin, they said that the Kerbin said, Pshad, but Lamaisa, the fact that they didn't later, they didn't contribute to it, therefore, that doesn't mean anything. They lost their rights. There were two brothers in Chaviva. The Romans would go and engage them in battle. Mekatlan, the brothers would go and kill them out the Romans. They were very powerful. They would go and fight the Romans in Mekatlan, and they killed them out. When some of them said to him, call Rami Musa, all the remedy, what do you have? We have such a good formula for going out. They think they place a crown on their heads. They have to say that they're defeated. The big Kiddush, because the man said they're winning. They're winning many battles, so they go turn that is winning. It's not really practical because it's not that wasn't the real perception of it. Said, one more time to go defeat them. If the Romans went to engage in the Romans, the creator is greater, your aid. One of the brothers said, we should neither support them nor destroy them. They're going to go sit back and destroy earlier and tell them that we don't have to go ahead and be mefater because nothing is supporting it. There's can go ahead and have open season. Because there's nothing that is really going to be, we have nothing to rely on, nothing to be support ourselves in, to be able to defend ourselves. So therefore he says, what you're right is we're able to do, your brothers died before Hadrian, because they're the same way that they were, and they have nothing to do, they have nothing to say. Mara said that how many people were there before Klai Yisrael and the wealth was so before it was destroyed? Klai Yisrael was an incredible number of people, incredibly wealthy. Shnei Rosen Moyi B'Meshka, there were two cedar trees and a mount of olives. And on one of them, there were four stores selling doros. And one of those stores, the other ones would go take out 40 sells of young doves each month. Or Miami speaking close again. They would go ahead and provide the kingdom for all of Israel. These are wealthy people. They had so much, there were so many peers that were brought there that they came, they were able to go and sell them all the verses that they need for the kingdom, for the tumah. if there was a woman gave birth, or anything else that they had, there was so many amounts, there was so much stuff there, there were so many stores to sell, they needed so much because there was so much buying and selling for the korbanos. The town of Tershuma would distribute 300 baskets of bread to the poor every Erev Shabbos. That's how wealthy they were. They gave such a tremendous amount of stocker to the seed. Then why was it destroyed? They had such great people. I say, so some say because it's Nus. They show me Mashiach Mekag and Kad. They play ball on Shabbos. What does it mean? It's Nus. They said that there was one, not the whole town, but there was one person in town that was a Mazana, and it affected the whole town to suffer for that reason. Had to suffer for that. That was this nurse that was there. The other man says no, it wasn't this nurse, but rather it was the Masaka. They played all this desecrated Shabbos. They played bull on Shabbos. Memela, that was it was an Easter. Rabbanan said it's also to do that. You can't find a bull because it's a kli. You may come to muksa. You may come to fix it, and therefore you may have come to carry it. So Memela, therefore they said it shouldn't take in your hand, and therefore in the end it went ahead and they played anyway. So Mela, it did so, and therefore it was destroyed because of disagreement. Shabbos, they were playing ball, not going to shear, and doing something that they should have brought to the spirit of Shabbos instead of learning using time for Torah. They went and they played sports, and it was a drabon and dikadin and muksa. So therefore, that's why the whole city was destroyed. Second sfera, why he says the city was destroyed. Okay, so the Gemara says, there was 10,000 cities in Aramel, and Rabbi Yisrael Kosim, and Yosef Kosim owned 1,000 of them. Connected them, each of them, he had 1,000 boats, 1,000 ships in the sea, Makulkacharim, and all of them became destroyed. It was such an incredible destruction that all this stuff that he had so much, describing incredible size that he had, that again, do we say it's an exaggeration or it's real? The Ultimate Kosim, one of the Kohen Gadolim, and he had so much wealth. You say everything was destroyed together with the city of Beit and Stub and Chub and Yerushalayim. All of this stuff was destroyed. Kulam Charvu. There's another example. Yerushalayim. There were three cities that were so popular, so many people lived in them, that the taxes, all Yerushalayim, my God, they had to go out, they bring a tax up to Yerushalayim in a wagon. There were so many people that were bringing taxes. There were so much taxes there, so much paid. People were paying so much. There was so much tax money, ledgers, and that were sent up. They had to send them up in a wagon. That's how much it was. They couldn't just carry it up. They had to send an animal. That they send it up in a full wagon full. I mean, it says that there was so much that they had to. Assuming something, Mar said, what happened? Mar said, they therefore, Savaya. Mar says, Bavul, Shikhan, Migdal. Savaya, Kabul, Shikhan, Migdal, Shia. These are all the other cities that existed in Galil, big cities. And Shlashtachar, and all of them were destroyed. All these cities were destroyed. So, Kabul and Mea Machokas, each one for another reason. Kabul goes to Machokas in the city, Shechem, Neak, Shafim. They used to play sword, they used to deal with sorcery, with Shifka, with Kishov. Migdal Tzvayim, Mea Znos, because it's Nos. Mea says another example, Shokav, Makav, Mea Mitzvah, Kalayim, Yerushalayim. Each of these three towns were so populated, twice as many of those who left Mitzrayim. Twice as many, if 1,200,000 left Mitzrayim, so it would be twice as many. That would be that's how popular the cities were, how many people they were. Yet they were all still destroyed. These three cities were so populous, these four cities, yet they were all destroyed. What were they called, these names? Why was it called Kvabish? Because his people who lived there did not accept pay. They didn't let any guests come in. They didn't allow Bish. They were evil. They didn't let anybody come in. Why did they call the city Kvabish? The word means because his residents used to raise their children like vegetables. No, they raised them in so many. With so many children they had that they supported them by selling in the marketplace. That's how there were so many. How did they support so many children? How did they take care of them? So Mar says they supported them by having to sell themselves with this, support themselves by selling these things. That's what they did. Plus a garden. Mar said that that's how they did it. Mar says, another next, Mar says, well, look, another city, Golden Kavaz, you call it Kavaz, Golden Kavaz, because in Tevet Kavaz, we said, Mar says, Lame Bunim, 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 all the women gave birth to males, it's Lame Kavaz, this was one of the women left the town. Nobody left. They would never give birth to. Only males were born there, and the that the women had to come from other towns in order to be able to give birth. They wanted to give birth. They had to come here to give birth. They would give birth to males. They wanted to give birth to females. They had to leave town because in this town was only males were born. So it was called. That's why the town was called in such a way. It says, I mean, you have another one. There were 80 pairs of brothers who were Kohanim. And they were married to 80 pairs of sisters who were daughters of Kohanim. And one night, by the Gufna, in the town of Gufna, was Me'akmalach. This does not include all the brothers that were Kohanim, were married, that were not sisters. Me'akmalach, brothers, includes from the Vim Yisrael. Didn't include the Vim Yisrael that were married and to other ones. You see, all these weddings took place in Gufna one night. Just so many people, even this one unique group, just from this one mice, it was called that they married 80 brothers and 80 Kohanim married a Zugim of Kohanim, 80 Kohanim, Bas Kohanim, was just in that one group. Imagine how many other weddings there were from other groups that were there. That's how big it was. So you mentioned that they were married in that town. That's what it's called, such a name. Whereas another example, I'm Yerkanan. We're not going to say, like I say, Mikdash Fire. You were 80 stories of Palgus weavers, the Mikdash Tzvaya, 80 stories that were there. The weavers, the sowers, the Mefarshim say, it's called Gufna. Where it says that they used to go and deal with all this type of palgas. They used to go ahead and make weavers, weave things. Shmarachi, another example. Shmarachi, Shmarachi, Tyrus. There were 80 stores selling of Tyrus, of Tyrus merchants in Kfarim. They were selling Tyrus things. There were so many people who were makbid on Tyrus. Would make sure that they were not getting and become tame. So Gemara said that they were so, that's how many there were. Gemara says that Sida, there was nothing there. The Mishmar of Imri was the smallest of all the Mishmaras. He had numbered 85,000 young Kohanim in the group, and they were the smallest group. You can imagine how many groups. How large is it? The other Kohanim groups that they have, right? This was the smallest, and they were 85,000 Kohanim. You can only imagine how many were in the other Mishmaros that were bigger. Tens, hundreds of thousands that were there. That's how populous the cities were, and how many Kohanim were around at the time. That showed the size of the city. It showed how big the cities were. The Gemara says that the, well, as you mentioned, so what happened with the Kohanim? Some of the young Kohanim, what happened with the Kohanim? 80,000 young Kohanim were killed over the blood of Zechariah. Zechariah, we know, was killed. He was killed by, they murdered him in the Chatzar HaMikdash because he was Zechariah ben Ido, was a Kohen, and he was also a Navi. And he told them they didn't live in the King Yahish, Kosh was going to destroy them. So what they do, they killed him in the Azara, and his blood was in the Chatzar of the Azara, and was there, and remained there for 200 years until the Churban Bayis. And when it describes what happened when they saw the blood, and the blood wasn't stopping to boil. So he ordered to make 80,000 young Kohanim, pairs of Kohanim, he killed them, their blood should mingle with that blood, until he stopped. When Spethon and the 80,000 Kohanim were killed over Zechariah. And he says, where was that? Shalom HaKidim HaShalom, he asked him a question. Where in the Mikdash was Zechariah killed? In Nazis Nashim or Yisrael? So Malay, not neither one, but Kohanim, the Kohanim they were killed. That's where they were. The court, as you mentioned, each one, it was a different chalik. He said to them, they weren't killed. It took more. Don't think it just was in Ezra's Yisrael or Ezra's Nashim. It was Faked, it was an actual Makom HaTayr where the Kohanim were, in the holiest place. That's where it was, and that's where they were all killed. That's where they were all killed, to avenge the blood of Zechariah. So why did they treat Zechariah's blood? The blood of a heart or blood of a deer? Why let the blood remain like that so long? And why didn't they treat it properly? Treat it with covered, like you treat any blood. Why did they let the blood of Zechariah go for 250 years without burying it, without covering it? Well, it's no, what happened on that? Why did they do that? So the Gemara says, they should have covered his blood, moved his blood, like they do even for an animal. Again, some of the Gemara said the pasuk said shavu dama like so you go pour the blood and you cover it with earth. But Ramah says no pasuk, that's not a requirement of kisi adam. Over here it says gidama so kahaya al tzol seller shav do there. Blood was with her, placed on a rock. They didn't pour it on the ground. They covered it with dirt. Come, what did they do? Why did they do all this? Why did Hashem make it that Zechariah's blood should remain uncovered all this time? If an animal you have a chiyuv kisi adam. So why did he make it that Zakai's blood, which was left on the stones, wasn't so to be buried, covered, even like the animal? So when I say the next pasuk, the pasuk says, in Yecheskel, describing a terrible calamity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it's the blood to stir up HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, to take revenge on Klal Yisrael for what they did, that they killed Zechariah and Avi, and Mela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let the blood stay there on the rock. It should not be covered. It should be a reminder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see it and be angry. So Gemara says, why did it get such a punishment? Why did Zechariah's murder become so terrible? What was such a punishment? So Moshe Rabbi Yosef, he saw Bosheim. Kai saw the seven terrible avers in that day. On the day that they killed Zechariah, a Kohen, he killed a Kohen. Because Zechariah was a Kohen, was the son of the Kohen Gadol. Navi was a Navi. And Dayan, he was a Dayan. The judge was also a judge. He was recognized as a judge. He was mentioned both. He was a Navi, Adam Kohen, and a Dayan. Moshech was a Damak, and they killed innocent blood. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't deserve it. It was a chil Hashem. It was a and they defied the heichal with the blood of Zechariah. Also, Shabbat Yom Kippur, Shabbat and Yom Kippurim. It's that six and seven terrible affairs they did that day. Mela, they was such a terrible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, allowed the blood to remain for so long till HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take revenge, be anger at the terrible. Tzikov, what they did to Zechariah, killed such an incredible, great person, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want it to be covered so that his anger would remain. What did happen? When the Zadok came up, came into the Makom HaMikdash, he finally came in to the Makom HaMikdash, if they captured, he saw blood bubbling on the ground. And he said, what is that? Blood was bubbling. So Mara says, What is that? Mati, what's the nature of this blood? Is it the blood of all the sacrifice we brought on the Mizbeach? That we brought all the blood that we brought? This is all? When it brought these animals and he shoved it on top, the blood sugar mixer on top of that. Well, the blood still continued bubbling. It didn't stop. It didn't stop bubbling. So it didn't stop bubbling. He thought that would just stop it. It mixed together with the other blood. It didn't stop. So he realized that they lied to him. He learned about climb gloves. Since they would not confess the reason whose blood this was, they lied to him. He went and he put them on a gardon, on a scaffold. He put them in a place where you torture prisoners. Amalek said to God, wants to demand the sanctification. He wants the Mekade, his blood, Zechariah's blood from us. But you have to tell the truth. We're put in a situation. We have no choice. It must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to tell the truth of what happened. So they told him, he was dying. He said, it's going to happen. Terrible things are going to happen to us. Your army is going to come against us. And we didn't listen to him. And we got angry at him for telling us these things. We got up and we killed him. When he heard that, he took 80,000 pairs of young kohanim. Shaltan, he shepherded, and the blood should fall and mix together with that blood, the blood of Zechariah. When I say the dying dam, the still didn't stop bubbling. It didn't stop. It didn't, all that blood mixed together, it didn't stop the blood. It wasn't appeased. It didn't stop. So then, that moment, he rebuked Zechariah. He said to him, I don't understand you. He addressed the blood. And he said, what do you want? You want me to kill the entire nation of Klal Yisrael for your sake? You're not stopping. I killed just now 80 pairs of Kohanim. Not enough for you? You want me to kill everybody? This person of Zardon, and yet, he's Machmanis on my children. He doesn't want me to kill everybody. He doesn't want to kill everybody. He's saying, enough already. You want me to kill more? And it's a customer, meanwhile, written a karakam, karakam, lapkali, azekako, lishkas, priest of Isaka, they forgot the bris, like a spoke of promise to the forefather, kamakama, how much rakam I should have on Klal Yisrael. I have to stop, the blood stop so that more Jews shouldn't be killed. If this terrible rush had Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael, doesn't want to kill anybody else, how can I not have more Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael? How much more I should have? Immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted to the blood, and it became absorbed into its place, stopped boiling, stopped bubbling, and it was in place. And because Mara says, again, Mara Babli talks about that when he saw the Bazadun saw this incredible nays, that he went and he became Megayer, the tshuva, and Megayer, and became a yid. That's the doesn't say it here, but that's what the Gemara in the Bavli, as the Gemara answers up, of what happened was the end of this story. the blood of Nebuzaradan, of the blood of the, that's a terrible thing, that he stopped finally the redemption, finally the Yakash Broker saved him and stopped it and stopped the killings of Klai, so Kash Broker now became Merachamim. We're going to get another mice of 80,000 Kohanim. I'm going to get another mice of 80,000 Kohanim. Let me talk to you, such a mice of 80,000 Kohanim, fed into the Kaltus in the underground chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. When they were coming to destroy it, they went, they hid in the chamber, underground chambers. All of them got burned. When they burned the Beis HaMikdash, all of them got burned together. When Shtayel, Yeshua ben Tzadok, the only one who survived was one, Yeshua ben Tzadok, the Kohen Gadol, Shin Emma, Halo Zeud, this man was saved from fire. That all the other ones were killed, all the 80,000 pairs of Kohanim were killed, but he was the first Kohen Gadol, second in the Beis HaMikdash by Sheni, and he was the one who was survived, because Baruch Hu saved him as a remnant to bring the people back to Tshuva, and therefore he was the he survived, the one survivor that survived. The I'm going to say that he survived. I'm going to say that the this was the this was the end of this and the saga with the blood of Zechariah of what took place. So then there's another thing. When it says that the another incident happened with the Maisa, says I'm going to have Yochanan, the third sheet, the third opinion. When it says someone about Baku going Baku lo Zechariah 80,000 young Kohanim burst through the troops of Nebuchadnezzar, local emits Yishmael and fled to Yishmael. They broke through the surrounding Nebuchadnezzar's army. And they broke through the Yishmaelim. They ran to the Yishmaelim. They figured they would have Rachmanis on them. They were Rachmanis. That they Romans won't, but maybe the Bnei Yishmael would. So they went through and they ran to the Yishmaelim. That Rachmanis Amalani said to them, "Amalani said to Yishmael, 'I know the Shlavinon. Give us a drink. We're thirsty.' And we left man. We named Meluchim and other proof that they gave them drink from salted foods and inflated skin flask and Mela. Amalani, they let them drink. Eat as much as you want. Eat and then drink." One of the young Kohanim would untie the flask, put it in his mouth, and the flask would go out and would choke him. That the he thought there was water in it. They were not filled with water, but with air. So he took it out and he put it in his mouth to drink the water to quench his thirst. The air came out and choked him. That the Gemara says that this was the way Gemara explains that this relation to this another story, a terrible tragedy. The Kohanim, young Kohanim, the ones that escaped from the Nebuzaradan, somehow still were able. Nebuchadnezzar and his army still was able. They were still the Ishmaelim. Then killed them to cause them to die in such a terrible, painful day that they choked from the air that went into their throats rather than what they thought was drinking from water from the to quench their thirst. When I said nothing, but this was all prophesies, is only way Shaya Navi already prophesied this many years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. He already said what was going to happen. The Ksiv says in the Pasuk, Masabar, there'll be a prosper, there'll be a prophecy by Rabia, Matul Rabbi Avi, there'll be a great prophecy concerning Rabia, Mabel Yarv, and the forest of Rabbi Yishalad, Minasunin, Yar, Halvonon Be'avaton. The Pasuk says, it's the Pasuk in. It talks about that they'll be accepting again this idea by the Vanon, Yalavanon, and the Kaiso position themselves in Yalavanon, and Aftalino, they'll come to Arabia, Alorukas the Gunim, the caravans of the Dunnets, which means basically that these are the people who were, they thought would be their saviors. When it says these thought they would be their saviors, that they would be there, Yalavanon, Aftalino, the Pasuk can explain what that means, that they thought this would be the place where they would be able to go. And be accepted. Yalvanon, they'll be safe over there for them. And if they ran out, they dug him. This is the way the cousins act. They said this is. They thought they're related. Yishmael is considered cousin, and this is the way the cousins act. The torture they start. They put this thing in a way to torture them. That they should drink air when they first make them thirstier, and then they drink the water, which you think is water. It's really their. That's how they died. Says the Kohen Gadol, "Kasher yitzam of b'midu leizim le'mayim." Close to Avram, can I let him also? They should have done. Avram gave them mayim. They should have done the same thing. He should have given mayim as well. But instead, they went and they tortured them, caused them to be killed. That was the result of the evil of the Ishmaelim. So Gemara says another thing. You see that Ishmael, Tzamalot, Kavali, Kosmalot, Spasik says, your forefather Yishmael was thirsty. Then Akash Baruch Hu helped. The Alagam is only Menavatera, my man. When Hagar ran away with the bait with Yishmael, and he was thirsty. So she went, he's dying, he's going to die, the baby. So she goes, well, went and preserved for him, looked up bare mayim, gave him a well of water, and this goes of Avram. Then they could have done the same to you. They would have then come to go benefit you and give you enough that you can be able to drink and escape. And they should have taken pity, taken on pity you, just like your ancestor helped them. Avram helped because of Avram, Yishmael was saved. They should have done the same thing to you, to Bnei Avram. They should have done something to save you. And instead, Yishmael acted the way Yishmael does and caused Klal Yisrael to be killed. So the Gemara says, therefore, you see, that's what the Yishaya's Navi was. That's one there because of the swords. They don't want to go fulfill the Shita, the year at Shemitah. Command the Atom, like I said, probably Shemat the Shemena Tenor. They should rest in the Shemitah, make Keshet Rucha. Because the Drambol, the Shabbat, they don't want to go ahead and observe Shabbos. Command the Alma, they want to command me, you say, you do a dark and you Shabbos. You saw Klal Yisrael, you work trading on the wine press on Shabbos. They killed Muhammad because of this very the war. They didn't want to go ahead and do battle with the Torah. They want to go to the Torah. When the Amakin Yom is safe, if it says in the Book of Wars of Hashem, in other words, they didn't want to. They selected to go to battle rather than a simple meeting of Hashem. They went to do battle rather than going to do battle with Torah, to go sit and occupy themselves with Torah, which is Mechem Teshal Torah. And because of that, the punishment was that they had to go ahead. They didn't observe Shemitah. They didn't observe Shabbos properly. They didn't learn Torah. And for that, they were given in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar to cause such a terrible destruction on them. Such brutal destruction, so many were killed in such a brutal way, no survivors because of they did not do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, they didn't haravu, they did not want to follow the words of Hashem, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to punish them and give them, brought them to Nebuchadnezzar to do all the terrible things that he said he was going to do. Which the Navi describes, what Yishaya Navi predicted, Misnabe, all came through. Let's stop with it.